Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off Meseches Moed Katan with Perek Gimel Mishnah Taz, and then we are going to start the next Mesechta, the final Mesechta of Seder Moed, with Meseches Chagiga, as we learn Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah here continues to discuss the halachos of funerals that take place on special days. It says the Mishnah, Beroshe Chadoshim B'chanukah V'Purim Ma'anos U'mitapchos. Then on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, and on Purim, women may engage in the type of chanting that we referred to in the previous Mishnah called Inoy, and they may clap their hands in grief as well. The Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim are treated in certain respects like Yamim Tovim, but not to the extent of Chol HaMoed. This can be seen from the fact that even the certain malachos that are prohibited in Chol HaMoed, they're allowed to be done on these days. Therefore, we treat them with a little bit of less stringencies with regard to the halachos of Avelos, to the halachos of mourning as well. It says the Mishnah, Bazeu Vazeh Lo Mikonoros, but both on this occasion, on Chol HaMoed, and on the other occasions, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, they may not engage in the type of chanting called Kina, because it is a more intense expression of grief than Inoy and clapping, and it certainly cannot be done. It's continuing in the Mishnah, Nikbar Hames Lo Ma'anos Lo Metapchos. Once the dead body has been buried, then they may neither chant nor clap in grief, even on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. The Mishnah is now going to define these terms. It says the Mishnah, Ezehu Inoy. What exactly is Inoy, the type of funeral chant that's allowed to be done on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim? Shekulon Onos Keachos. When all of the women are screaming together. Kina, what is Kina? Meaning, what's the type of a funeral yell that is forbidden on these days? Sha'achas medaberes v'kulon onos achareha. When one woman's speaking and all the other are responding after her, Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, v'lamedna binoseichem nehi v'isha re'usa kina, and teach your daughters a lament, and each woman shall teach her friend the skill of kina. The implication of the words, and each woman shall teach her friend the skill of kina, as the Tiferes Yisrael points out, is that the term kina is used when what is said by one person and repeated by those who are there. The Mishnah and the Masechta is concluding with a positive thought. We've been discussing a lot of death. Let's focus a little bit on some positivity. Let's end in a positive way. Aval la'asid lava hu omer, but concerning the future, the psukim tell us in Yeshaya, Bila hamavus lanetzach hu macho Adonai Hashem, or Elohim, dima me'al kol panim v'chulei. Death is going to be eliminated forever, and Hashem is going to erase tears from all faces. Meaning to say, in Olam Haba, death is going to be abolished, and people are going to live forever. And the reason why this is how we end, as the Bartener points out, is because now that we discuss several halachos of funerals and mourning, the Mishnah closes with this pasuk so as to avoid ending the Mesechta on a negative note. Hajan Allah, Meseches Moed Katan. And now we're going to begin Meseches Chagiga. Now, by way of introduction to Meseches Chagiga, the Torah commands each and every Jewish man to go to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year during the Yom Tov of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot to appear before Hashem and to bring various karbanos on the Mizbech, as the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmos, and really throughout the Torah numerous times. Shalosh Regalim Tachog Libashana. 3 Yamim Tovim you should celebrate to me during the year. Velo Yere Panai Rekam, and you should not appear before me empty-handed. Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yere Kol Zechurcha El Pnei Ha'adon Hashem. That 3 times a year, all of your men should appear before the Master Hashem, and that's this obligation of appearing for Hashem 3 times a year, the Ola LeRegel, on the Shalosh Regalim. Now, there are 2 types of karbanos that must be brought. Number one, you have an olas re'ia, a burnt karban, an ola, that is brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And you also bring a shalmei chagiga, which literally means a karban shlom, a peace offering of celebration. As with all karbanos that are brought, these are shechted and their blood is applied to the walls of the Mizbeach. The meat of the olas re'ia is then burnt on the Mizbeach, and no part of it is eaten. It's a karban ola, burnt offering, the entire thing is completely burnt. The meat of the shalmei chagiga, however, is eaten by the owner of the karban, his family, and his guests, and only a portion of its fats and organs are burnt on the mizbeach. Now, the first parak of Maseches Chagiga is going to teach us the halachos for these obligations, who is obligated, how much the carbon must be worth, what types of money may be used to buy them, and when these carbonos may in fact be wrought. With that in mind, we are going to begin now with Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Chagiga. Says the Mishnah, Hakol Chayavin Bera'iya, everyone is obligated to appear before Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash on the Yamim Tovim, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Chut Michere Shota V'Katan, except for a deaf mute, an insane person, and a katan, someone under Bar Mitzvah. These people are not legally responsible for their actions, and they're therefore exempt from all mitzvos, and because a deaf person as well as a mute are specifically excluded by the Torah from this obligation, that a deaf mute, someone who can't hear or speak, is considered by the Chacham to be mentally incompetent. He is therefore always grouped together with a shota, with someone who's really has a mental issues, and minors as one of those who are not legally responsible. However, the Gemara here in Daf Gimel and Maseches Chagiga learns from a Gezeira Shava, from a one of the tools that the Gemara uses to learn different things, and use it to learn another halacha, that even a person who is only deaf or only mute is also exempt, is also potter from the mitzvah to appear in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he is legally responsible. And that's what the Bar Tanura quotes that Gemara. Furthermore, the Bar Tanura quotes that a katan, a minor, is a boy under the age of bar mitzvah. A child below this age is not obligated to perform mitzvos. However, once he is old enough to begin doing a mitzvah, his father is obligated to train him. He has reached the age of chinuch, and therefore should be trained to perform the mitzvah. The Mishnah is going to define the age of chinuch for this particular mitzvah. Continuing in the Mishnah, v'tumtum v'androgynous v'nashim v'avadim she'ina m'shukharim. Also, who else is potter from this obligation? A person where we're unsure, is he a male, is he a female? That would be the tumtum. Also, an androgynous, someone who also, you know, there's something wrong with his private areas. Unclear exactly what he is considered to be. Women who are also potter, slaves who have not been freed because the obligation to appear before Hashem was said only for males, and these people are either female, partially female, possibly female, or subject only to those halachos that apply to female. Because slaves also who are not free, they're only chayv in mitzvos, aseishes mangrama, time, they're potter from time-bound mitzvos, which this would certainly be included in that as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hachiger, Vahasuma, Vahachola, Vahazaki, Numi She'inu Yachol Alos Beraglov, and someone who is lame, someone who is blind, someone who is sick, an old person, one who is unable to go up to the Beis HaMikdash by foot, because the obligation to appear before Hashem in the Zara of the Beis HaMikdash requires the person to go by foot. These people have difficulty doing so. Therefore, they are also putter from this obligation of going to the Beis HaMikdash for the Shalosh Regalim. Now the Mishnah is going to define what it means for a katan to be a putter. Ezehu katan, says the Mishnah, who is the minor who is putter from appearing in the Beis HaMikdash even with his father? Kol she'enu yachol lirkov al kseifov shel aviv v'lalos mirushalam harabayis divrei beishamayim. Beisham is of the opinion, any child who cannot ride on his father's shoulders and go up with him from Yerushalayim to the Harabais area, these are the, again, that's the katan who would be exempt from this obligation of being taught to go out olah l'regel. Uveisilah, Rabbeisilah is of the opinion, no kol she'inu yachol lachos biyado shel aviv v'lalos mirushalayim l'harabayis, and that any child who cannot hold his father's hand and go up with him by foot from Yerushalayim to the Beis HaMikdash, Shneamar Shalosh Regalim, for this the pasuk tells us, three Yamim Tovim, which implies that one must be able to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash, courtyard to the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, as it says, Shalosh Regalim. Since even an adult who cannot walk up is exempt, a child who cannot walk up, certainly, even if holding his father's hand, is not yet old enough to be trained to do this particular mitzvah. Quick review. Perek, the last Mishnah of Maseches Moed Katan, Perek Yom Mishnah Tes, taught us that on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, women may engage in the type of chanting called Inoy. They can clap their hands in grief. But both on Chol HaMoed and on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, they can engage in Kina, as we'll describe as the Mishnah continues. And the Mishnah is continued by saying that once the dead person has been buried, then they can't chant or clap. even on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. Then the Mishnah defined what is considered to be inoy, which you're allowed to do on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. We said that it's where all the women yell together. Kina, which you can't do that on these days. So that's when one woman would speak and all the others would respond after her. Quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu proving that. And the Mishnah concluded by telling us that when it comes to the future, then the death is going to be eliminated forever and Hashem is going to erase tears from everyone. It's only going to be simcha. There's not going to be death and everyone's going to be happy and live amazing lives. And then Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph of Maseches Chagiga taught us that everyone is obligated to appear before Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash for the Yom Tovim, for the Shalosh Regalim, except for the following large group of people. Number one, a deaf mute, an insane person, a minor. Anyone who's not exactly a male, whether that's because they're a woman, whether they're an androgynous, a tumtone, a slave who's only obligated in women mitzvahs, all of those people are paturos, are pater from going olo l'regel, and also someone who's lame, blind, sick, an old person, someone who simply can't go up to the Beis HaMikdash, since it's shalosh regalim, you should be able to walk up there. If you can't walk, then you are exempt from being olo l'regel, going up to the Beis HaMikdash on the shalosh regalim. And the Mishnah finished off with a machlokas, who is considered to be a katan that is exempt for this regard. Even someone who's under bar mitzvah is still perhaps obligated on a chinuch level for his father to bring him. So we said that according to Beis Shammai, any child who cannot ride on his father's shoulder and go up with him, he's exempt. And according to Beis Hill, it's someone who's even a little bit older. Any child who cannot hold his father's hand and go up, he would be exempt. Again, as the pasuk says, Shalosh Regalim, he should be able to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash. Have a great day.